I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty.
Thank you, Linda. Oh, yes. Any primary age children who want to do craft, there is a craft activity in the second room at the back there. So, yes. Lovingly prepared by our team. Okay, I won't be very long in my talk. We are, in case you wonder why we have that rather odd passage, it's because we're doing a series at the moment in Malachi, but I'm going to try and keep it short and to the point today. And I've called today's message, Returning to God. Returning to God. There was a verse that began that reading where the Lord said, I, the Lord, do not change. Now, as we know, everything in life changes. The fuel prices change. Technology changes. Relationships can change. I mean, one visit to the doctor and your health situation can be declared changed. There's a lot of things in life, you know, intentions get forgotten that change. But the Lord says, I do not change. And I do believe, people don't admit this, but I do believe that people are looking for something solid, reliable, consistent, something solid they can stand on. And God is saying, if you trust me, I mean, you might have funny ideas about God. You might have been told stuff or put off by people you've known. But in this passage, he's saying, if you trust me, you'll find someone who does not change. Now, he doesn't change because he's perfect. It's a bit like an anchor as well. A solid rock is one possible analogy. An anchor, a solid, solid anchor. Will you trust in the God who does not change? Now, the reading goes on to say, he says, I'm the Lord who do not change. And he says, so you, the descendants of Jacob, that's the, back then it was talking to the people of the Old Testament, God's people then. He says, you are not destroyed. It's a funny phrase, isn't it? Why would he talk about them being destroyed? Well, you see, they were going right against God and ignoring him. They were saying, what's the point? Why bother with God? He's not going to do much. They were turning their back on him, really. And in the old covenant, there was a promise that if you turned your back, I mean, thankfully, this doesn't really apply for us today because we don't grow crops. I don't think there are many farmers here. But they were, a lot of them were farmers. And back then, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it said, if you turn your back against me and say, oh, what's the point with God? He said, I'll send locusts. Locusts to devour your crops, to sort of wake you up. That was what was promised. But he, see here, he says, I haven't destroyed you yet. Because, you know, God's heart is this. He will in the end have to stick to what he says, but his heart is faithfulness, grace, hope, love. He is longing that people don't have to come into his judgment. He loves them. He loves you. I don't know if you can see that picture. There's a guy holding a rather venomous spider over a fire. Now, if we persist in rejecting God, I believe, it's like we become a bit like that spider. Now, does anyone here love spiders? Does anyone here find spiders pretty scary? Yeah, well, I mean, what's your reaction? If you're holding a large tarantula over a fire, what are you going to do? You're going to go, and drop it in the fire. And in a sense, when we really put our fingers up at God and say, talk to the hand, not interested, it's like we become a bit like that spider, and God's like, it's not that nice to him. And he has every right to just drop it in the fire. But you know, God's heart isn't like that. God loves you, and God says, I'm going to hold you as long as I possibly can. I don't want to drop you in the fire. I will love you. I want to show faithfulness. I want to show grace. And that's what it means, I think, by this phrase, I'm the Lord that do not change, but you haven't been destroyed yet. Because I'm a good God, and I want to give you as much chance as possible to come to me. I don't want to judge, not unless I have to. And then he goes on to say these words to these ancient people back then. He says, ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees. You've not kept them. But then God says this. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. You know, in that first line, it says your ancestors have turned away. Well, that's just common human practice, isn't it? Humans over history turn their backs on God. That's the way they live. They think they can, they want to live independently of their creator. Be your own boss, drive your own life, seek happiness apart from him. But you know what? It leads to emptiness and poverty, really, in the end. And then he says, return to me. I will return to you. God's saying that today. If anyone here is not following the Lord, he's just saying, return to me. And you don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to get all right and do. You just come as you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You just say, okay, Lord, I want to come back to you. Okay, he says, return to me and I will return to you. You know, they actually said to him, though, but how? They didn't get it. They didn't quite get what they were doing wrong. And that's common. You know, people don't really think they're doing anything wrong. They think they're fine. Well, this is what God said to them back then. He said this. He said, you have robbed me. Robbed me with the offerings and the tenth of your crops. Just very quickly, this doesn't apply to us in the sense, none of us are farmers. We don't have to give our crops to God. But can I just explain why they did this? They did this because a tenth of their crops were meant to be given to feed the poor and the needy, and some of it was also meant to be given to help the priests run the temple because they didn't have any land. And God says, you've robbed me. This is to them. He says it twice. He says, you robbed me. He says, you are robbing me. Now you might think, well, that's not relevant to me. But I think we can all rob God. See, God, if he's our creator, his rightful place is to be our Lord. If we hold back our life or our heart from God or put self on the throne, if we take the life he gives and the breath he gives and the time he gives and the talents he gives and we say, stuff you, God, my life belongs entirely to me. You know, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Dreadful song. Sorry if you like him. But you know, robbing God, we can all rob God. And Jesus actually died between two robbers on a cross. And we rob God by not letting him be first place in our life. That's all. God still will bless you with loads of things. He wants to bless you with lots of stuff. He's not a killjoy, but he wants to be first. Are we robbing him of first place? And he goes on to say this to them, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That means the tenth of the crops. Bring the whole tenth of the crops into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house for the poor, the priests, Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. He says these phrases, bring, that means surrender, the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, we don't have crops. How is that relevant to us? Well, I think God is saying today, bring your life to me. Bring your whole life to me. And he says, test me. Put me to the test and see if I won't bless you. You know, normally we're encouraged not to test God in the Bible, but here he's saying, test me. If you put me first, I will absolutely bless you. And I can say that Connor and Debbie are doing that now. And if you ask Debbie how she's feeling, I know she's got a broken leg, but she says, I'm great. God's blessed me because she's put God first. Test God. If you don't believe in him, just say, well, okay, Lord, I'll put you first. Let's see what happens. God will bless you. Here's a guy, by the way, who built a bridge in Scotland called the Forth Bridge. His name was John Fowler. And he said that this bridge is strong. And he said, but I'm going to ask you to test me. Test my faithfulness in building this bridge. And do you know what they did? They got this train to run across it full of hundreds and hundreds of tons of steel and iron. And it didn't collapse. And what God is saying today, he's saying, test the bridge of my faithfulness. See if I won't support you. Put me first. I dare you. Give God a run for his money. You know, and sometimes people are afraid to do this because they might get unpopular with their family or with people might laugh at them. Well, Jesus said that, you know, if you put me first, even if your family turns against you, God will give you brothers and sisters in the church. He will give you houses to visit and stay in. He'll give you lots and lots. Jesus said this. He said, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. So that's my simple message today. Put God first. Invite Christ into your life. And he says, if you do, this is what will happen. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven or the windows of heaven. Now for them, back then it was rain. So if we put God first, it will rain so that we can get lots of crops. Because it would have been a drought. But it's not the same for us. We're not farmers. So what does it mean for us, God opening the floodgates of heaven? Well, I believe the best way God ever opened the windows of heaven was giving Jesus. Jesus came from heaven, if you like, through an open window. He came to earth. He poured out his love on the cross, his forgiveness, his eternal life, his grace, his Holy Spirit. He is the window of heaven. He is the floodgate. And if you invite him into your life, God will bless your socks off. He will. Ask Debbie. It won't always be easy, but he will. And there won't be any drought. There won't be any curse. You know, God said to these people, if you put me first, he said, I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops and the vines in your fields. They won't drop their fruit before it is ripe. See the little locust just there. But what does that mean for us? Because we're not cursed with locusts. Well, we are, if we reject God, we are cursed with sin. Sorry to say, sin is a curse. But look what it says in the Bible. Christ redeemed us from the curse. The curse of the law, that means failing to keep God's standards. Because he became a curse for you. Can I just finish by saying, if anyone feels their life is a bit of a curse, can I just say Jesus took the curse? He took it for you. You know when you wore a crown of thorns? The crown of thorns is a picture of the curse of the Garden of Eden. Jesus takes away the curse. Jesus will bless your socks off. Jesus wants to be first in your life. And my last slide is this. Return to me. and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Let me pray, and then I'll invite Emma up. Lord, thank you that this is a rather obscure old story, but thank you that you want to be first in our lives. You want to bless us. You long to bless us. You want to pour out all the riches of your blessing, and all it takes is that we surrender and come to you and believe. Thank you that Debbie's done that. Thank you that Connor's done that. And I pray for everyone here that you'll help them to move towards doing that, or to rejoice that you have already done it in them. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Amen. Okay.